Welcome to the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you all doing? Good. I ran out of time last service, so I'm starting. Good morning. I have a couple quick announcements before I get going. Number one, next weekend, my wife and I are going to be sharing. Jared is going to be interviewing us, and we're going to do a little Laramie and I with Jared talk back and forth about marriage and all that kind of stuff. So if you have any questions regarding dating, relationships, marriage, communication, how do I deal with this, whatever that looks like, there's a phone number right here, text 623-738-6821. I don't know who you are. We're not going to get your name. Ask us anything. Now, we may or may not answer your question, but text us your questions. I'll know if somebody's messing with me. And I'll know. I know exactly who would do that. I'm going to look them down right now because I know they mess with me at football practice. They're mean to me. And I know they'd ask some hard question, and I'll make Laramie answer it. So if you want to mess with Laramie. But, hey, if you have any questions, anything like that, because next weekend, and we'll do that during the service as well. So Laramie and I are sharing, if you have other questions, like, hey, how would you, whether it's parenting, I'm not saying we're professionals at all. Because we're not. We're still figuring it out, but we know people have questions, and we'd love to help. and then the next thing, our City Kids announcement. As you guys heard, City Kids is it's our biggest ministry here. So many kids are in it, and it's a place where kids are making decisions. When Laramie told me, my wife told me that we are short, so many teachers have to combine. You want to know my first thought? My first thought was, then I'm not going to preach. I'll go teach that class. I'll have somebody else teach up here. I'll have Jared teach up here because those kids are more important than this. You guys can listen to podcasts. You guys could listen to another pastor who's probably way better than me. But those kids, they're our future. Those kids are who are going to be up here someday. Those kids aren't going to listen to a podcast. Those kids aren't going to go and listen to God's word anywhere else. And a lot of them aren't going to hear it at home. Not to bash you, but a lot of we're busy. And so today might be the only day they really hear about Jesus and those kind of things. That's valuable. And that's such a huge thing. So my first thought was, well, I don't need to be up here. I have other people who can speak for me. Those kids, I want to be in there because they need it and they're hungry. You might be, they're scary. They're not that scary. I was in there one day. And I've taught all the classes. I've helped in every single one. I used to be in there. And I mean, granted, I did get in trouble every week, but... when I was a kid, but it's okay. We have awesome curriculum. We provide everything for you. We make it so simple. The last thing is, you heard them say about the change-a-thon. So the thing is with change, we don't carry around change. I don't. It goes immediately into multiple piggy banks that I have in my house and at my office so that if I have any change, I just throw it in there and I collect it for whatever. Now, the thing is, if you want to bring your change for this, you have to plan ahead of time. You have to think, I need to bring it tomorrow. And my kids didn't have to remind me, hey, Dad, don't forget to bring your change so that camp is cheaper for you when you have to pay for it. My kids didn't say that to me. I remembered it. I made it a point. I'm going to remember my change today. Now, this is just a little bit of my change from a couple things that I have. I got more. But so you got to remember that. So don't forget your change next week. You're like, why? It's a simple thing. What are you going to do with that? Take it to the bank and let them have a little bit of it? Let all the high school and junior high kids roll it, and then they get the money for it. I mean, that's going to be a fun day. I'll bet none of them have rolled change before. So it's going to be a whole new learning experience. You know, they play video games, a whole new way of using their fingers and all that kind of stuff. So that is great. The last thing I want to encourage you with, at Citigroup, the Citigroup I go to on Thursday nights, we've been doing this thing where we have picked one person in our life that we are actively praying for that we're going to invite to church on Easter. One person. So everybody at our city group, and some of us are adding to that list each week. So I think some people have two. I have like four that we are going to actively. Now, I'm not talking about like Aunt Sally in Tennessee. I'm talking about your friend who lives next door, the guy you work with, the girl that you sit with in class. That's who I'm talking about. So who's your one? Pick one person that you're going to pray for, that you're actively going to think, I'm going to invite them to church. Now, you may think that's going to be scary. I'm only asking one, but can you imagine if all of us invited one. And imagine if all of us invited one. I don't know, there's probably 100 people in here today or something like that. If all of us invited one. And imagine if just 10% of our ones came to hear the gospel. That would be a crazy thing. So let's find, pick one. I know all of you, hopefully you have one person in mind right now. And they're like, I don't know if I have one. Find one. I'm sure you have a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus. I have different people in my life. So think of one. So we are continuing our relationship series today, relationship status. And today we're going to look at this guy Boaz in the book of Ruth. And he's not your normal guy. And you know, in our culture today, men have really jacked things up for the culture of men and how men are viewed. Men have really done a disservice to themselves. You've got guys on TV shows like Everyone Loves Raymond. I know that's old, that's dating myself, but he's just sort of portrayed as this dumb, awful man. And then you have Andy from Parks and Rec. You look at him, he's funny and he's this great guy, but he's an idiot. He has no job. He cleans people's shoes, or he lives in the dump, or whatever. That's Andy. So you have these guys that you look at, and then you've got what's the main character with the mustache? What's his name right now? Ron Swanson, and he is just a nasty man. And you got Family Guy. And these are our men, and then you've got the men in politics that we have. As the men leading the way of this is a man. And you've got men even in the religious sect that are doing awful, terrible things, and the church is covering up for them. And this is sort of what's being portrayed as a man, and that's so far from what God desires men to be in our nation. And imagine if we, as men, were just an eighth of the kind of man Jesus was. Our families would change. Our neighborhoods would change. The workplaces would change. Life would change if we just lived even an eighth of a life like Jesus lived. Today we're going to look at a man named Boaz, a man he is just a rad guy in the book of Ruth. He enters the scene in Ruth chapter 2, and he's a guy that not only can we look up to as men, but he's a guy that we can all look up to and say, can I be more like him? I wanted to title my message originally, I titled it, Be Like Boaz, Not a Dumb, and then you could add what other kind of lazy, there's so many things you could add to that. My wife said that's not appropriate. So I just went, Be a Boaz, Not a Dumb, ... And you could fill in the blank however you want to feel, however appropriate or inappropriate you are. I'm too Christian, so I left it with ... But I text Zach, the guy who runs this stuff up here. Hey, what do you think? He laughed. He thought it was funny. And my wife said no. she keeps me grounded. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for what you desire to speak to us. God, I ask that you'd speak to our hearts now. Lord, I pray that we would each look at ourselves and just think, God, what is it you want us to be? How do you want us to live? In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at, turn to Ruth chapter 2. If you've got the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, go there, because there's probably going to be a whole lot more there than I'm going to get to this morning. I'm hoping to get to the end. I don't know. I'm not going to promise. But there's a whole lot of points at the end that are really good, but I got to get to the beginning to get to the end. Whatever. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. Let's look at Boaz. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So let me catch you up. So we got this lady, Naomi. Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they move. They leave Bethlehem in disobedience of God because they think the grass is going to be greener on the other side. How many of us have ever done that? We think, okay, this is going to be better, but we're doing it in disobedience. We're doing it when we shouldn't. We're doing it when we know that's not what is best for us. Well, Elimelech and Naomi, they take their family, they go. The two boys marry Moabite women, which they shouldn't have done. And all of a sudden, all the dudes die. All of them. They all die. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's one of those things of, have you ever seen why men don't live long as long as women? You've got a guy who has a ladder stacked on top of a ladder with an extension cord in a pool. I don't know if something like that happened back with Mahalon and Elimelech and like, hey, dad, let me help. And all of them, who knows? But they all die. I don't know. they all die. And so you got Naomi, who's now with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Naomi says, girls, I'm too old. I can't have any more kids. Go move back home with your parents. Orpah says, all right, peace out. She goes and lives with mom and dad. She goes back to worshiping her gods. That's what it says in Ruth chapter 1. Ruth says, uh-uh. She says, you've changed my life. She says, I don't want to go where your God isn't. She said, where you go, I go. Where your people are, will be my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be with you. Your Lord is my Lord. She says, I'm going with you. And Naomi says, all right. So they go. They head into Bethlehem where they know God is blessing. They're going back to God's blessing. They're going back to where God is moving. So they take that step, and now we come to verse 1 where the hero of the story enters the scene. It says, now Naomi had a relative of her husband, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech named Boaz. Boaz means strong. I looked up this word worthy. Worthy means admirable, excellent, honest, noble, reliable, trustworthy, valuable. Have you ever had to fill out those surveys about somebody? And like, if people want to do sports at this church called CCB here, one of the things that you have to fill out, it says 5 words that define them. I'm like, I barely know them. They're nice. They smile a lot. They're great with kids, I hope, dot, dot, dot. You have all these things. You sort of got to fill out this survey. And I wonder, what would be the defining word about me? Boaz, the first thing that said, he's a relative, and it says he's a worthy man. The word worthy is used 3 different ways in the Old Testament. The first way is a man of wealth. A man of wealth. The second way is a man of war. Not meaning he's seeking war, but he's a warrior. The third way is he's a man of wherewithal. Meaning he's not going to sit around and be lazy, but he's going to think creatively on how to make money and how to provide for his family and how to run a business. That's what wherewithal means. Meaning he's not going to sit there and be lazy. So girls, when this man Boaz is defined, this is defining every bit of who he is. He's a man of wealth. He's wise with his money. He's a warrior. He's going to fight for his people. He's not a warrior, meaning he's going to go out and fight in some war, but he fights for his employees. He fights for his people and the people in his city. He's a man of wherewithal. He's not lazy. So that's Boaz. And then Boaz shows up to work one day. And so if you rewind a couple verses, you got verse 1, then verses 2 and 3. Ruth goes to Naomi and she says, hey, we're poor. We don't have anything. We need some food. Ruth says, I'm going to go to work. And then it says in verse 3, and she happened to come upon the field that was owned by Boaz. There is no happening when it comes to Jesus. There's always a purpose in God's plan for your life. There's no chance. There's no chance. There's no luck. God doesn't believe in luck. God believes in destiny and purpose for every single one of our lives. Now, we can totally step out of that and we can mess it up. But God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. And so Ruth walks onto this field and she's working this day. And so Boaz shows up to work, shows up to one of his fields. And it says in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and he said to his reapers. So he shows up. Have you ever had your boss show up to work before? And your boss, Boaz doesn't walk up and he says, hey, I heard you were 5 minutes late today. Boaz doesn't show up to work and say, hey, you missed the spot. Boaz doesn't show up to work and say, hey, why is that guy sitting over there? No, Boaz doesn't show up to work and start pointing out wrong. Boaz shows up to work and leads his people in the worship of the Lord. Do you see that? That's the kind of boss and that's the kind of leader Boaz is. It says he shows up and he says to his men, the guys working for him, he says, the Lord be with you. Can you imagine if your boss showed up to work and he says, may the Lord be with you? He takes this right out of the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, where it says, the Lord bless you and keep you. He leads his people in the blessings of God. The first thing out of the boss's mouth. I know some of you in here, you're bosses. You lead companies and big companies. I know that's what you do. Imagine if you led your men and women, the people that work for you, this way. Because here's the thing. You might be the only pastor they ever have. And you're like, I'm not a pastor. You are, because God has appointed you as a leader and you are a believer in Jesus Christ. So God has given you that opportunity to pastor those people that work for you. Imagine if you did it like that. Imagine if you led your people to know Jesus. Imagine if every boss who was a believer, and I know we had some ballers last service, some guys that lead some big companies last service, and I really challenged them, but I challenge all of us in here. Imagine if we led like Boaz. He walks up and he says, may the Lord be with you. How do his employees respond? The same blessing, and may the Lord be with you. A respect relationship between Boaz and the people that worked for him. He was more than just a boss to these men. He was a spiritual leader. And many of us, we might be the only Jesus the people around us ever see. You have an opportunity to point people to Jesus every day. And that's not just for bosses. That's any of us who are in any place, in our homes, in our workplaces, at school. You might be the only Jesus some people see. And you got to point them to Jesus every day. You see, Boaz was leading his business, and his men, they saw that. You see, he saw his business more than just making money. I heard a pastor in a message, a guy named Mark Driscoll, he said in a message, he said, you have two different kind of bosses, two different kind of people. You either have people who love money and use people, or you have people who love, or you have a boss who loves people and use money. I'm sure we've worked for both. If you ever worked for somebody who's, they're all about money, they love money, and they use people, and they don't care about you. If you don't produce, or you don't do, and whatever, they're following your lead because they're just worried about money. They're just worried about making sure you're happy because they know you could care less about them. So you have those people, and Boaz didn't care about the money. He cared about the people, and you see that with the first words he says to his workers, may the Lord be with you. That's a leader. That's somebody that we can all look and say, can I be more like him? Not only do we see this, but we see that Boaz is setting a culture for his people, setting a culture of pointing people to God. And then we see in verse 5 even more, it says, then Boaz said to his young men, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? You see, Boaz was aware of what was happening around him. He was someone that all his employees loved and his employees looked up to, and all the people in the city knew who he was. He was not the normal kind of person. See, Boaz noticed somebody new. He said, hey, who is this lady? And you see, here's the thing. Some people walk in, they don't notice anybody. Boaz notices. And I love that his men had a response immediately. You know what that means? That means Boaz taught them a culture of being aware of what's going on around them. That means Boaz taught them a culture of being aware and being loving to the people around them. Because the guy had a quick response. He goes, that's Ruth. She's the Moabitess. She's the one that's here to help Naomi. That was the first response. Somebody already knew the answer. You see, Boaz is such a great leader. He's leading his men and his employees even to be aware and to be alert. Imagine if we worked and we were people like this. You see, Boaz was a safe person to be around. We're going to go over 9 things that show us what a safe person is. Boaz is not your normal kind of guy. Boaz is somebody that we can all look to and say, how can I be more like him? How can I be more like him when it comes to relationships, when it comes to working in business, school, a neighbor, and all these things? Number one, Boaz, what does a safe person look like? A safe person, safe people understand the Father heart of God. See, look at Boaz. We're going to learn some key characteristics about Boaz here. Ruth chapter 2, verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. You see, he sees her for who she is. He sees her in the eyes of God. He doesn't see a non-virgin, a broke, homeless, helpless girl who has some nag, tag-along mother-in-law that can't do anything for herself. He doesn't see that. He doesn't look at her. That's not what he sees. He sees a daughter of the king. That's what he sees. He sees somebody that is loved by God, and that's why he says, daughter. Can you imagine what that would have felt for her to be called daughter, not, hey, Moabitess. Hey, you. What are you doing here? He says, daughter. He notices her. And he calls her. He sees her through God's eyes. Then it says, as we continue in verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Safe people care about our safety. He says to her, stay in my field. Boaz runs a company different than everybody else. He knows that a woman in her vulnerable state, a woman in the place where she really has nothing, she has nobody that would vouch for her, nobody that would help her, nobody that would protect her. She is a widow. She's a widow. She's not only a widow, but she's a refugee. She is somebody that doesn't belong in this country. Anybody could have taken advantage of her. And he says, stay in my field. You're safe here. I run a safe company. I like my employees. I'm good to them. Stay here. I know that right here at this place, you are safe. And then he says to her, I have other women. Stay with them. The third thing, safe people introduce us to other safe people. You know, it's so sad, you know, when you start hanging out with somebody and then all of a sudden you meet their friends. And how many times is it the friends that you're like, what in the world? This is who you really are? Because when you start meeting friends, you start finding out who they really are. And he doesn't introduce her to some random prostitute girls. He doesn't introduce her to, like, the nasty crowd. But he says, hey, meet the women that are here with me because they're safe. They're good to be around. This is a good place for you to be. And then the fourth thing, safe people enforce good boundaries. You see, Ruth had nothing. She had absolutely nothing. In that culture, in those days, a widow needed her husband or needed money from or her kids to provide for her. She had no kids. A widow in that day would need family to provide for her. She has no family. A woman in that culture needs somebody to help. The problem is she's not from that culture. She's from a different culture. She's from a different place. So she has nothing. The only thing she had one, she could either work as a slave in a field or work as a prostitute in a home. Those are the only two things. When she made the choice to work, Boaz realized she is making a choice to be different. She's making a choice to be a woman of excellence, as it says in the book of Ruth. A woman of excellence, a woman that's not like any other women. And he notices that. You see, safe people, the fourth point, safe people enforce good boundaries. He says, have I not charged the young men not to touch you? See, when Boaz went to his men, he says, okay, who is this lady? And they're like, Ruth. He goes, okay, men, you know what that means. He calls all the men together. He has a meeting. Hey, guys, hey, tells his foreman, Harry. Hey, Harry, get all the guys together. We got to have a meeting. All the guys come in. Hey, what's up, Boaz? Hey, Lord be with you. He's like, yeah, Lord be with you. Okay, yeah, we're getting down to business. He goes, you know Ruth over there? Like, yeah, we notice her. I mean, she's pretty. He goes, don't touch her. He goes, she's not the kind of woman that you see so many times in our fields. She's different. She desires to live a different life, a life set apart for God. So don't touch her. He sets boundaries. He realizes her boundaries, and he enforces her boundaries. Ladies, girls in here, if you're dating and a guy pushes past your boundaries, he is not a safe person. He is not a safe person. Safe people see your boundaries. Safe people set boundaries for you, too. My wife and I, when we first started dating, I'm like, honey, we're not going to, I don't know, you could call me a prude or whatever, but I know once I start kissing, usually it's going to lead towards other places. So I'm like, honey, I'm not going to kiss you. I didn't call her honey. I called her Laramie. We sat in the car, listened to Jars of Clay for like 3 hours. She's like, honey, do you remember that tape, cassette tape? What in the world is that? But I said, we set boundaries. I said, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to kiss you. And you could call me a prude or whatever. I know once I kiss, it's going to I know where that leads. Because I'm married now and I can let it go wherever I want. And I know if I start kissing my wife around my kids, I got to be careful because I know where it leads, and I'm married. When I'm dating, I know how weak I am. I knew how weak I was. So Boaz
set boundaries for her, because Boaz wasn't just a good guy. He was a strong guy. He told his men, don't touch her. He led in a strong way, but he was also tender. He told her, you're my daughter. Not in a creepy way, but in a loving way. You see, that's a good man. He set boundaries for her. And then it says, the fifth point, safe people are generous. Boaz could have, you know, be just letting her be in the field, that was generous enough. But what does he do? He tells her, he goes, go and drink from the water that my men have drawn for you. He tells his men, hey, I want you to purposefully drop extra food, and I want you to make sure you leave some still there that she can pick. I am generous. A generous guy is a generous, is a good person, a safe person is generous. They're not wanting to take from you. So many relationships are what they can get out of it, what they can have. And that's in marriage and that. That's all. It's all about me, all about me. When can I work out? When can I buy my toy? When can I get this? When can I get this? A safe person is a generous person and looks out for your best, not theirs. Boaz was a generous person. The sixth thing, safe people take notice of us. He said to her, this is in verses 10 through 13. He says, the Lord repay you for what you had done for Naomi. He took notice of her. He realized what she had done for her own mother-in-law, and he acknowledged it. Men, when was the last time you acknowledged your wife? You took notice of her. Now, don't nudge, because girls, we're going to see in 2 points Ruth's response. But for those of you who are married, and I know guys have, We haven't had the greatest or best leaders, but guys, from now on today, let's start new. If we're not a noticer of our spouse or our girlfriend, notice. You know what that means? That means you have to pay attention and you have to listen. He listened to the report about Ruth, and he was able to say, hey, I've heard what you've done, and you're being an awesome daughter-in-law. He noticed her. And then it says, the seventh thing is, safe people pray that we will be blessed. He prays for her. He says, I pray a full reward given to you by the Lord. He chooses to be part, to be a part of her life and to pray for her that God would answer her prayers. The eighth thing, safe people provide comfort and kindness. She says to him, after he's so kind to her, she doesn't say, it's about time somebody notices what I'm doing. Because how many of you women, once your husband finally says something nice, you're like, I know. I know, it's about time you said something. I'm glad the pastor said something to you today. I mean, I get it. Sometimes for me, like, I hear a message like this, and I'm like, oh man, I hear a message, like, for me. My wife, she always says what she appreciates about me. Sometimes the hardest thing for me is like, well, I appreciate so much. I'm like, honey, I appreciate you. She's like, but tell me one specific thing. Like, you got to pay attention. You can't be you got to be a Boaz, not a, you choose. But she says, you have comforted me and spoken kindly. She acted in humility. She says, nobody has acknowledged me yet. Can you imagine how she must have felt? She's doing all this work for Naomi, a lady, she's known her for 10 years, but she really has no tie to her anymore. She says, thank you for noticing. She doesn't say it's about time, but she says, thank you for noticing. So many times, ladies, the reason why guys shut down is because they finally hear something, they go out and they'll buy flowers or they'll do something good, and they get shot down because they get some snarky response. And like, this is why I don't do it. Why? Why even try to get better? Because you really don't care. It's just tough being people. I suck at being a person. I'm not going to lie. I'm terrible at it sometimes. This morning, being a dad, I was a terrible dad. I was annoyed. I don't even know why I was annoyed. Probably because I was talking about being a good person, and I was like the opposite of all of it. I was annoyed with my kids. I wasn't annoyed with my wife. Praise the Lord. I didn't do anything bad on that side. But man, I stink as a person sometimes, and I'm so glad for grace. And so Boaz notices her, and she reciprocates that. She says, you are safe to be around.
The ninth thing is safe people point us to God as a safe place. Boaz could easily have said, hey, Ruth, you know, I know you don't have anywhere to live. Come live with me. I'm rich. I got a big house, plenty of money. You don't have to work anymore. You could just stay with me. I'll provide for you. He could have done that. That probably would have been okay. But what does he do? Where does he point her to safety? Did you see that in verse 12? He says, the Lord repay you for what you have done and fulfill to a full reward and be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. He says, go to God. He's where you find refuge. It's not in me. Because the thing is, if she would have been codependent on him, then she would always be codependent. She would not know who Jesus is, this God that she desires to follow. But here he says, go to Jesus. It's Jesus who you will find refuge. It's God who you will find safety. He points her to him, not to himself. That's a safe person. A safe person says, God is where you need to go, not me. There's eight things I want to share with you about how Jesus is that safe person for us. If you have the YouVersion Bible app, you're going to see them all there. I'm going to go super fast through them because I don't have time. Eight things. Jesus is our safe person because he has the Father heart of God. When he saw the woman bleeding and she was so scared to tell Jesus what she had done, he turns to her and he says, daughter, daughter. Jesus was our safe person. Jesus cared about our safety. It says in John chapter 10, Jesus says, nobody can snatch you out of the palm of my hand. Jesus showed us how to be a good friend in John chapter 15. He says, a good friend will lay their life down from you, not lay their life down for you, not take your life for them. Jesus says, a good friend sets boundaries. And Jesus taught us to set boundaries in our prayer time, to set boundaries on how to be honest and direct, to set boundaries on our priorities. Jesus told us how to set boundaries so that we would follow God and not people, and how to obey God. Jesus was generous. It says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The sixth thing, Jesus takes notice of us and our value. He talks about the birds of the air. He says, there are birds of the air. He goes, I know even when one falls, but you are more valuable than they. Jesus desires to bless us. He says, you want to give good gifts to your kids, but how much more does your Heavenly Father want to give you good gifts? The eighth thing, Jesus desires to be our rest, our kindness, and our comfort. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, and the message reads this. Are you tired? Yes. Worn out? Yes. Burned out on religion? Any kind of rules you give me, it burns me out. What does he say? Get over yourself? He says, come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. And I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Jesus is who we all can look up to. Ladies, I know that there are some men in life that have done some bad things. They have hurt you. They have abused you. They have lived lives nothing like Jesus. And I am sorry. I am sorry those things have happened. That's not what Jesus intended at all. Jesus did not intend any man to live a life like that. Jesus set good examples. The problem is we have sin that ruins everything. I'm sorry. Jesus is a better man than you could ever dream or imagine. And he says, come to me. Men, Jesus says the same to you. He says, come to me. I know we try and we do all these things and we think we can do things on our own. That's where you fail. When I read these things about Boaz, it makes me evaluate. You know how we take our cars in to get the oil change and we make sure that we get everything done and we do all those things in our life to make sure things are checked up? When was the last time you did that on your own character? When was the last time we actually looked and said, okay, how am I doing? How's my soul? How's my soul? How am I? Am I the kind of man, and if you're dating a girl, am I the kind of guy like this, or am I not safe to be around right now? To evaluate yourself, you have to actually think and be real with yourself. Don't lie. Be real. Let Jesus work in you, because Jesus is the safest place for all of us. He says, come to me. Jesus says, I value you. Jesus says, I see you. Jesus says, nobody can snatch you out of my hands. Jesus says, I want to help you to be the best friend you possibly can be. You guys, God has so much more planned for us than we could ever imagine or think. The heart of City View is we want to help people belong. You belong here. Not only do we want to help people belong, but we want to help people believe, to believe in Jesus, that Jesus wants to save your life and he wants to change your life and make it something that you never dreamed it could be. He wants to take a messed up life with all of our baggage and all of our trash and all of our broken pieces and make it into a mosaic that's the most beautiful thing in the world and put it on display. That's what he wants to do with your life. And he doesn't stop there. He wants to take your life and help you become who God is calling you to be. That's the heart of City View. We want to help you believe in Jesus. No, belong in community, believe in Jesus, and become who God is calling you to be. That's our heart. That's God's heart. Lord, I thank you that you love us, that you take notice of us, that you value us. Lord, I pray that we could just be an eighth like you. In Jesus' name. All those people said.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.